Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
It's big news. It is big news. The FDA shift offers a major step toward rehabilitating hormone replacement therapy for women going through menopause. It was once a no-no. No, it'll give you cancer. It'll give you heart disease. Don't take it. Well, when chemo sent me into menopause, I was having a lot of the symptoms, you know, dry, itchy skin. I wasn't sleeping at night. Brain fog. Well, that could be any reason I was having brain fog. Lethargy. I was having terrible physical and emotional symptoms. I went to my bone marrow transplant team and they said, you need to ask your OB. My trusted OB who delivered all three of my perfect humans was Dr. Elizabeth Elfstrand. And I went to her. I said, what do you think? She said, absolutely. You should be taking estrogen and progesterone. And she put me on that. And that was years ago. And this is just for me. I'm not giving you medical advice. I'm telling you what happened to me. It relieved my symptoms. I am happier. I feel healthier and calmer and more thoughtful. And it really helped me. So the fact now that a black box warning that has been on for decades is now being removed from hormone replacement therapy is big news. Joining me on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline is that very OBGYN who saw my children, who delivered all three of my humans, one of my favorite people in the industry, Dr. Elizabeth Elfstrand, retired now, only to the dismay of her patients. But thank you so much for joining me, Doc.
Sure. Good morning, Jordana.
So give us a little bit of background. Why was HRT so vilified and had this black box warning?
Yeah, I think we have to go back to 2002 to the WHI study, which came out that summer. I remember it well. I was on a family vacation with my kids, and I saw it on the TV screen. I went, oh, no, this is terrible. Because I had already been in practice for a decade by then, and I'd been well-trained, and I knew that hormones were safe and had their place in helping women. And then that came out that summer. And by the time I came home, by the end of the week, women had stopped their hormones. Like, women didn't consult their doctors. They stopped their hormones based on a very splashy news, broadcasting. So it was. And then what we saw after that was so many women were complaining about, not feeling well, mm-hmm. the vasomotor symptoms, the hot flashes, the sleep issues. But then, you know, it also became very apparent. We saw more osteoporosis and osteopenia when we were screening. And I mean, women were just not feeling very well. And I never stopped my practice mm-hmm. of prescribing hormones over all these decades because I knew it was, you know, what women needed. But I think, so I'm in favor of removing the black box warning. And the American College of OBGYN has come out with a statement, too, that it was just an unnecessary barrier.
Yeah.
for the treatment of menopausal symptoms. But I think the main thing we need to stay in tune with, you know, new research as it comes out. But it should be a personalized approach, right? We're not just and just like they swept everything into the black box in 2002, because that's when that happened. And they just said, like, all hormones are bad. Mm-hmm. Well, they weren't all bad, but they weren't really diving into the study, which was then dispelled. What the WHI, it took women from 50 to 80, threw them all into the study and didn't really sort it all out. But later it was sorted out, but that didn't make the headlines. And by then women had gone off their hormones, and it had been years they'd been off their hormones. And what we did know was it wasn't so safe to go on and off of hormones.
Right.
So, you know, getting rid of the black box makes sense, because what should happen is that women need to sit down, hopefully with their OBGYN, and have a nice shared decision making, but looking at what an individual woman's underlying risks are, such as, you know, are they at risk for heart disease, at risk for dementia, breast cancer? What are their risk factors? So really individualize the treatment. And then there's a whole plethora of products out there. Well, we can individualize that too. So, I mean, I think that's what it comes down to. Just let's not paint it all at one picture. Hormones are bad, or hormones are good, or now everybody should be on them. It's not like that. It should really, because women with breast cancer or other estrogen cancers really shouldn't take hormones. And then then some women are at risk for blood clots. They shouldn't be on estrogen. So we really, really, really have to individualize treatment. And that's where it should be at.
And that sounds like a very healthy, moderate, reasonable approach to prescribing hormones or not prescribing hormones. Can you address why this got so out of hand? Why we went nuts? And was the first study flawed? Or did the media just ruin it for actual science?
Well, my understanding is that they admitted later they were trying to make a sensation. Certainly the media really picked up on the whole sensation, and it really left women in the lurch on this. We should have, you know, it should have been really looked at. And so even that study showed that women on estrogen alone, and that we often use in women that don't have a uterus, we just put them on estrogen alone, actually showed benefit right from the get-go. That didn't make the headlines.
Yes.
And the other problem was women were started on hormones in their 70s and 80s. Well, we shouldn't have been doing it then if we were, and we know better than that now. So, I mean, what we do know is that starting hormones shortly after menopause, so average age of menopause is age 51, so starting hormones around that time is the best time, if possible, in the first 5 years after menopause for sure. Like, don't start them a decade later, okay?
Right.
So we've, you know, and there is some good research out, but we wish we had more, right? We don't know the absolute risk or benefit of decreasing risk of dementia. We don't have that data. We don't really have all the ins and outs of hormones. So we shouldn't paint it with a big brush and say, yes, everybody, please get on hormones. But it should be an individualized option for women, depending on what their symptoms and underlying risk factors are.
Do you think there will be a lag in acceptance of this? Because that black box warning has been, as you mentioned, that was a 20-year-old study. That's been on there for 20 years. Do you think that OBs and healthcare providers will understand now that that was flawed, we never should have been saying that, and will be quick to make the change and prescribe HRT for menopausal women?
I think doctors like myself that always prescribed HRT were like, yeah, of course this should just go away. Because, again, we don't want to scare people.
Right.
That is not the way to treat women. You know, let's have a conversation. Say, this is what we know. This is what we don't know. So I think doctors that were always comfortable in treating hormones, using hormones for treatment, will be like, good, this is good, because we were scaring people away. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and hopefully physicians that for whatever reason didn't feel comfortable prescribing hormones will take another look at it. But, you know, I'd encourage women to look into this themselves and yes. to really, you know, look at their own risk factors. You know, look at, do you have a risk of heart disease? Do you have, what is your cholesterol? What is your blood pressure? Have you modified your risk factors for, because, you know, heart disease is still the number one killer for women.
Yes, it is.
So we want women to really take a look at the modifiable risk factors. And, you know, obviously we all know exercise is important mm-hmm. part of our aging process. So after I get off the call, I'm going for a walk.
Good for you. What about some of the alternatives? You know, in certainly in the last few years, we've been hearing about yams or natural products or teas that help in menopause symptoms. Do you ever prescribe those? And what's your thought on those?
Not much. I don't think that's a very, being we have had a lag of actual pharmaceutical treatment studies, we certainly don't have studies on that are valid and reasonable. And I really, really want to strongly encourage women not to get pellets and to do any kind of really unusual alternative mm-hmm. treatments for this. Mm-hmm. Now, things like acupuncture will help with hot flashes, and that's great.
Great.
You know, so women with breast cancer, for instance, that can't take hormones, they have some alternative medications and also complementary services like acupuncture and cognitive behavioral therapy and mm-hmm. things like that that could help with their hot flashes. Mm-hmm. But see, that's not going to treat the underlying, like, you know, skin, urogenital symptoms, mm-hmm. Bone health, all those things. So, you know, again, it has to be individualized because you can't, you know, you have to know what your goals are.
Right. And we're getting some personal questions on the text line. And what I'm going to like tell the texters is that you need to go ask your personal OB. Dr. Elstrand is mine, but you can't ask her about you because she hasn't seen you. But like, I'll ask you this one question from one of the texters that says, ask the doctor if she thinks dairy has to do with hot flashes.
No,
I hadn't heard that, but I mean, that's probably, you know, something that people pass around.
Yeah. I don't think that has anything to do with it. I mean, I think, you know, we know sleep is important, and we know that hot flashes can certainly disrupt sleep. And so, you know, people can be miserable when they don't get enough sleep. Mm-hmm. So we want to do things. And we know, like, wine, you know, is not only a risk factor for breast cancer, alcohol, but we know that that can disrupt sleep, too. So mm-hmm. we have to look at those modifiable risk factors. Our lifestyle things, you know.
I get it. What else do we need to know about the removal of the black box, you know, warning on HRT? And what would you like to leave our listeners with? I always want to give you the last word.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, some people are saying maybe it was a little fast to just get rid of the black box. Hmm. Like maybe it should have been more nuanced than that. But I do think, I mean, a lot of people will ignore a black box anyway. I think what it does is highlighting, by bringing this into the media, like you are today and the newspaper, it was in the newspaper yesterday and online. Mm-hmm. What it does, it gets people thinking about their own health, which is always important, and making that appointment, because there might not be time in a yearly exam to cover all of this. Mm. You might need to make an appointment to actually, I want to talk about menopause, but women need to realize menopause is when they've actually stopped having periods. Usually it's around age 50. Because now there's been a swing the other way. Women at 40 are thinking, oh, dear, I need to know all about menopause.
Yes.
Well, you don't need to. You know, let's be reasonable here. But make an appointment to just talk about menopause with your physician.
Yeah, excellent advice. Dr. Elizabeth Elfstrand, I miss you, and I'm so glad to hear your voice on the air with me.
Well, that was fun. It's nice to hear your voice too, Jordana.
All right, enjoy your walk, my friend.
Okay, bye-bye.
Take care. Oh, I have so many good stories about how she delivered my three babies. So she's been a good ally all of these years. A lot of texts coming in. Do you want to react? We're talking menopause and the husbands need to listen too. You know, does this change your view? And are you going to talk to your doctor about this? I, quite frankly, feel betrayed by the government when they issue these warnings. And then, you know, it wasn't real or the studies weren't thorough enough. That's why we're talking about it today. 651-461-9226. I'll be right back.
Hello and welcome to all new and existing members of the We Do Not Care Club. We do not care if you can see that we are online. We still not responding to your texts. We do not care if we took meat out to defrost this morning. We will not be cooking dinner. We do not care if we are riding with the AC on and the windows down. It's called balance.
That's our dear hero, Melanie, founder and creator of the We Do Not Care Club, because she was going through menopause and she went on Instagram and started listing all the things she doesn't care about. And she has millions of followers like me because we can all relate. And that was the conversation. I just had my doctor, Dr. Elizabeth Elstrand, on to talk about the removal of this black box warning for hormone replacement therapy. Because, friends, hormone replacement therapy does help the symptoms of menopause. And it is not the deathly danger that the media and one study made it out to be 20 years ago. But I'm not telling you to take it. And that's not what Dr. Elizabeth Elstrand said. She said, talk to your doctor. If you are at high risk of cardiovascular disease, if you are a breast cancer patient, it is not for you, but there are other alternatives. I know this hits a lot of you in the heart because so many people have gone through this or watching their partner go through this, or their mom or their daughter, or their sister. And we got to stick together. It's a hard thing. This texter says, let's see, I took HRT for 20 years. 13 years ago, I had estrogen-driven breast cancer caused from the HRT. Having hot flashes so bad, I felt it was worth the risk, and sadly, it was the wrong decision. Texter, I am so sorry. That is devastating, and I am so sorry that that happened to you. I understand why you made the decision at the time, and at the time, it was the right decision. I hope you don't beat yourself up about it. But because you're sending me this text, I'm assuming that the breast cancer was treated enough for you to still be here, because you say your breast cancer was 13 years ago. I'm so sorry that you had to go through that and that it was caused by the HRT. I hope you are healthy and well now. Jor, I'm 62. I have never had a conversation with my doctor regarding hormone replacement. I was diagnosed with heart disease 3 years ago and have had a family history of heart disease and osteoarthritis. I am furious. My female medical team never even asked if I would like more information. I am so sorry about that. And sadly, sometimes, you know, doctors are mediocre and we need to be the ones to say, hey, is this right for me? Is hormone replacement right for me? Because you had heart disease, it probably wasn't. Maybe that's why they didn't bring it up. But we have to be advocates for ourselves. Ladies, we know nobody's coming to save us. Nobody's going to take care of us. We have to take care of each other and ourselves. Jordana, 22 years of HRT for me too. Horrible hot flashes and I felt great. They are brutal. I know. This texter, I guess I had a good doctor because I have been on hormone replacement therapy for about 10 years. She said the risk back then were so minimal. And I knew about the New York Times article that said they had basically messed up the data. And so thank goodness I had been on it early. My doctor put me on it early and I was just fine. I don't think the side effects are bad. I just don't want it to be taboo anymore. Government screws up. Studies are flawed. Media makes everything worse. This is the opportunity to relook at how you are managing your health as a grown woman. And to talk with your doctor and talk about it with your friends, talk about it with your spouse. We shouldn't be hiding these effects. We shouldn't. Every woman goes through it. Go ahead. David.
Yeah. Well, I don't. Yeah, I feel like I don't get a say in this.
No, you do.
I'm a man, but
sure.
I'll take a stab at it. And I think what this reveals is that we as society and as people are very poor at assessing risk, because everything we do, like, we know there's risk associated with it. I hop in the car. I eat a hot dog. I go for a walk. Everything we do, every product we buy, there is some risk involved. And we are very bad at determining what risks are worth it and what risks are not.
I would agree with that.
And we listen to flashy things. We hear a story, like we hear a story about an airplane crash, and we go, oh no. And then we worry about our airplane crashing, when statistically that's not a thing any of us should worry about. Mm-hmm. We should worry much more about fill in the blank, how much fried chicken a year I'm eating or whatever it is, because statistically that is a bigger risk to us. But we're not built that way. We're poor at it, which is why we need to have experts, doctors, help us manage that risk and put it in perspective. I almost wish there was like a risk system where you can say, okay, how risky is this? How risky is this? How risky is this?
Yeah.
Knowing that it's not black and white. You're not going to eliminate all risk from your life. That's not the point.
Of course not.
Okay, I'm trying to treat this symptom. Mm-hmm. Put this in perspective for me, which a doctor can do. Like, how does this risk compare to other risks that I take every day and I'm okay with? And am I comfortable adding that risk? Knowing that, like our one texter just said, for her, it was the wrong decision.
It was the wrong risk.
Or, you know,
at the time, it seemed right. So you can't fault that person.
No, you can't.
For that.
And we are all rolling the dice with all of these risks every day. And
so we
need to be okay with that.
So true. And that's it for me. You know, I had just been through cancer and I said to my doctors, oh, my gosh, I read HRT causes cancer. And they're like, no, Jor, my doctors, thank God, you know, smart. I said, make sure you talk to your OB. And thank God I had a good one who said, it's better for you that you take this now. So I'm glad we're having the conversation. Thank you, Melanie, for making us laugh about in the We Do Not Care Club. It is 11:32. Ooh, I am late. I'll be right back.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates, so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed-sponsored jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Love me some Harry Styles. I'm going to bring back my Winging It because we just did not get enough Winging It today. And it was something that people jumped all over. So I'd like to hear your thoughts. My Winging It was that email is still the most go-to and useful way to communicate professionally. Email is the go-to communication tool for workplaces, as it should be. And you need to get on the bandwagon. I said in the beginning, I feel like the sandwich generation of email. I'm a Gen Xer. And there are older boomers, and not all, but some, that will pick up the phone all the time to call you and ask you about something. And then younger people have to say, well, per my last email, this is what it said. And now I'm reading that Gen Zers don't love email, and it's driving their workers crazy. There was a kid, 25-year-old, quoted in the article that said, I know you're supposed to check it 3 times a day, but maybe I check it once. Well, if you check it once, you're going to be missing stuff. And he went on to recount a story where he got screwed. They were in a meeting, and there was an email string, and there was an emergency that happened, and he didn't know about it, and he didn't do his part. And it was because he wasn't keeping up on his email. Yeah, it's part of the job. Now, that being said, is email still the best way? I still think it is, only because I think it is so universal. You have company-wide email. It's universal. And I think we are now, even the boomers, are ingrained in checking email. And I guess we got work to do on the Gen Zers or the Gen Alphas. I know there's Slack. I know there's Google Teams. I know there's Meetup. There's those group me's. There's that one. A lot of the sports teams use that. There's, God forbid, WhatsApp, which I cannot stand. Please don't use that for work. And if you send me a WhatsApp, I'm never going to read it. But there are other options that, yes, can be used effectively if a certain group agrees to it. But if I send somebody an email, I expect that they are going to read it within at least the next day. Maybe I should give them 2 days. But if I send off someone an email, I expect them to read it. If somebody sends me an email to my work email, I am definitely reading it. Maybe I'm not going to respond to you because I don't want to, but I am definitely reading all of my work email, and I will get through it by the end of the day for sure. I don't get that much. And then I have two other personal email accounts, and I'm a little more lax on those, but I definitely check them multiple times a day just because I have them up when I'm working. How is it going for you? Is email still your go-to communication for workplaces? And then I want to know how old you are, because if we got these Gen Zers who don't want to check email, what do you think we're doing here? It's part of the job. It is a job requirement that you read your email and you respond, because nobody's sending snail mail anymore. And also, don't call me. Don't call each other. When you call each other, yes, you might be able to solve problems faster, but there is no written account of what is to be held accountable. And that's a little bit harder than to go back and say, I forgot I was supposed to do that, or I it wasn't in writing, so I didn't see it. That's why I still think email is the go-to communication.
I think the frequency that you check and respond to the emails is the key feature here, because folks that think email is maybe going out of style, it's not that they don't have email. Even in your example, somebody's checking email at least once a day, maybe a few times a day. Yeah. But there are those who are tied to email so much that you are having back and forth conversations with dozens and dozens of emails within a day. That's how some people use email, that they're that tied to it, that you're moment by moment sending emails back, which, like, I very rarely do something like that. Like, if, you know, to me, email is, you know, I expect an email back within an hour or two or something like that. But I'm not like chit-chatting back and forth on email. There's other things for that. And I think that has changed. And if you're saying you're only checking once a day or something, then that's very different than how some people use email.
So you're younger, David. Are people your age or younger only checking email once a day at work?
I think there's a push from my generation to try to check email less. Like when I talk to other professionals, the goal is that you can spend less time on email by checking it, I think, like 3 times a day.
You mean during the workday?
During the workday. I mean, my job here is different and weird.
Correct. But you have to be checking it all the time.
But I think a lot of people are trying to check less, meaning maybe you do email first thing in the morning, you do one midday, and you do one at the end of the day. And that means you're not doing this like chatter or stream of conscious with somebody. If you need a question answered right away from a coworker or want to like have a chat, you have to move that to Slack. Which there's a generation that did that on email, but we're not doing that anymore on email because that, you know, I'm only checking 3 times a day.
Right. And I agree with that. I've even said that where people are like, I responded to you and I was like, oh, I'm out of the house now. Or let's go to text.
Yep.
Because that's the fastest and easiest for me. Or I guess if it were a Slack and we agreed upon that as a methodology.
So I would agree with your original stance that email is still a vital and necessary part of business today. But I think its role has changed and will continue to change.
That's fair. That's fair. But new people to the workforce, like the Gen Zers, you can't just check email once a day. You must. You have to check it at least in the morning when you get in, and you have to check it at night before you leave.
Yeah.
You know, in the afternoon, whenever you're wrapping up your workday. If you're working remotely and you have a flexible workday, you have to check it when your workday ends up and when your workday starts.
Yeah. I will also say, though, if you're somebody who's checking email every 10 minutes and you're in the middle of a project and you're stopping to check email every 10 minutes, that's like we don't do that anymore. And you can't do that. There needs to be a different way. If there's an emergency that comes up, you can't rely on your staff being so tied to email that they're going to get your note in the next 5 minutes. No, you need to, in that circumstance, there's got to be a different tool, whether that's picking up the phone or Slack or whatever it is. There's got to be a different way to get a hold of somebody.
I agree with that. Some of the text, 651-461-9226. How does this work for you in your place of business? I hope you're not going to say that email is on its way out, because that's how I'm communicating a lot with PR people, with, you know, to receive pitches, and book guests. That's how we're doing it. Although, today was a monumental day in my career. I booked my first guest through TikTok. I've booked a guest through Instagram before. I've probably booked a guest through Facebook back in the day. This was the first guest. And by the way, he's coming and joining us tomorrow. He's a Pittsburgh dad who opened a community food shelf on his lawn to help out the community. I loved his story so much. The only place I could find him was TikTok. And I do have a TikTok account because I got to stay relevant. So I reached out to him on TikTok. He got back to me right away, and he's coming on the show on 9:30. So I'm the one who's saying keep email relevant, but you also have to grow. I just booked a guest on TikTok. Okay, here's one text from Tubby. He says, I'm a boomer. Jordana, I have received important quick correspondence from 2 customers this morning. How? Email. Email rocks. That's from Tubby. Tubby, thank you. And thank you for checking your email, because if I send you an email, I expect that you're going to read it. This texter says, I'm 66. I can't stand email. Text me all day long. That I understand, but not for work. For work stuff, I wanted an email. It keeps it more organized. Text is disorganized. For work stuff, you want it either on a Slack chain, if you agree with that, or in an email. Jordana, if I get a call from someone and there is any sort of action item or resolution, I'm following up with an email so that there's a trail. And now I'm duplicating my effort. I hear this. That's why I don't want people to call me. And if they do and I pick up and they want to pitch me something, I say, send me a pitch in writing. Send me something. What's your ask? What's your idea? What's your thought? Send it to me in writing. I'm not going to, even if I listen and I'm intrigued on the phone from your pitch, I'm not going to remember that stuff. Remember, I'm in menopause. I'm not going to remember any of that, what you said to me on the phone. I'm definitely not taking notes on our phone call. That's on you. You can pitch if I pick up the phone, but you must follow up with an email, just like this texter says. Even if someone calls to tell me something, you respond with an email with the list of things you talked about and actionable items. But you're right, that is duplicating the effort. It's taking double the time. Because if that person had just sent you an email and said, here's what I need, or can you please help me with this, or how should we do this, then you've already begun the correspondence. I'm not going to remember any of that.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.